The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. Today, we complete 67 years on the air and are bringing you a special broadcast. Our theme for this anniversary month, Give Glory to God. I read from 1 Chronicles 15, beginning with verse 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among the nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In this passage, we're reminded that God is glorious and we are to declare His glory. We are to sing unto the Lord and to show forth His salvation. We see that because of His greatness, He is to be feared. And we read in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Further, it declares He is superior to all the gods of the people, above every idol, above all human philosophy, above the wisdom of man. And it says He is the God that made the heavens. In one of our messages, we emphasize this truth.
Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. The heavens declare the glory of God. How can anybody look into the heavens and see the brilliance of the noonday sun and imagine these things just happened? There's no real explanation. How did the sun arrive in its place? What keeps it in that position? How does the earth continue to rotate on its axis and revolve around the sun? You look into the heavens at night and you see the beauty of the moon, and you see the star-filled heavens. How could anybody assume that this just was accidental? No real valid explanation. I love that expression of Charles Spurgeon on this verse. He says, in the expanse above us, God flies, as it were, His starry flag to show that the King is at home. So when you look into the heavens and see the stars and see the brilliance of His creation, it could be described as the flag flying to say the King is at home. Our God reigns. Yes, the glory of God is seen in creation.
The glory of God is declared by all in heaven above. The heavens show His handiwork, it's all a work of love. Oh, listen to the speech of day, the wisdom of the night. Both are a great and open book to teach.
In a message on the resurrection of Lazarus, we saw that every detail in arranging that event was designed to bring glory to God.
Now, the Son of God is going to be glorified in a unique way. In contrast to all of the things that have been said and all of the things that have been done, now He's going to be glorified as this great miracle, which is referred to as a sign of who he is, that he is no ordinary man. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a prophet. He is the Son of God. And raising Lazarus from the dead is a clear confirmation of his deity. Jesus then has a purpose. When he gets this news about Lazarus being sick, obviously he loved Lazarus. He'd visited in the home of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus numerous times. He was not inconsiderate, but he had a purpose. Everything Jesus did, he did according to a purpose. He was constantly submissive to the will of his Father. It was not the will of the Father that he should yet be taken captive and go to the cross. That time would soon arrive. It was not the will of the Father that he should hasten to this home in Bethany and heal Lazarus while he was yet alive. He had healed many sicknesses before. But the purpose of the Father was that this would be the most outstanding of all the signs. This man, dead in the grave, 4 days, already in a state of decay, and Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. And this great miracle is going to be performed to the glory of God and for the benefit of his followers, his disciples. You say, well, how could this be a benefit? What's it going to do to their faith? Don't you know that to see Lazarus brought out of the grave after he had been dead 4 days is going to do more to strengthen their faith than if Jesus had just healed him while he was sick? So there was a purpose to glorify God, and a purpose that would be for the benefit of his people. But so often, because we can't see it at the time, we can't understand, what is God doing? And sometimes get a little impatient, like, the Lord really ought to explain this to me. Why does he leave me groping in the darkness? But you can rest assured that what he does is not only to bring glory to his name, but it's for the good and benefit of his people. And when you can have that assurance, no matter how you may be tossed about on the restless sea, no matter how dark the foreboding cloud overhead, you can have hope and courage and confidence because your trust is in the living God. In Psalm 115, we see glory given to the name of God because of his mercy, his truth, and his sovereignty. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. First, unto his name we give glory for his mercy. In all 26 verses of Psalm 136, it says, his mercy endures forever. The last verse calls on us to give thanks for his mercy that endures forever. And surely we can give thanks for the mercy that has been given us through the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, it says, give him glory for his truth's sake. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The opinions of men are constantly changing, but God's word is sure. It is a foundation upon which we can stand. Thirdly, there is reference to his sovereignty. What a wonderful truth. The God we worship does whatever he pleases. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. He's not lacking in wisdom. He's not lacking in power. He is never defeated. When you put your trust in him, you can have confidence. Confidence that he will remember his covenant, keep his promises, and defeat every enemy.
Amen.
Through the years, we have introduced this program by inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. By this, we're saying God is to be glorified. We say our message is going to be about God, that God is sovereign, and that God bestows grace according to His sovereign pleasure. We're in desperate need of grace because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't deserve grace. We cannot merit grace. It is a gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." How is it that you're in Christ? Not by good works, not by free will, but of Him, through Him, because of Him. He is our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. The redeemed are entirely dependent upon Him. Therefore, they can only boast in Him. And this glory of God was seen in His Son, because Jesus Christ, of course, is God in the flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He came with great glory. And how beautiful are those words, that He is full of grace and truth. When we get just a glimpse of His glory, of His greatness, and we see our unworthiness, and we cry with Isaiah, "Woe is me," is it not then good to realize He is full of grace? What we desperately need is grace. We're not asking that we be dealt with fairly. If we were going to be dealt with fairly according to our own actions, our own sins, our own failures, we would suffer His judgment. We need something better. We need grace. And He's full of grace. If your soul is saved, you've been saved by grace. You need grace on a daily basis. He's promised to give that. We come boldly to the throne of grace, where we find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Every day we live is a time of need. There are times of special need. What do we need? We need grace. We need His mercy, His forgiveness, His strength, and Jesus Christ is full of grace. We're bringing you a special anniversary program today, as we have now completed 67 years on the air. I'm thankful the Lord has given us the opportunity to proclaim the gospel on the radio for so many years, and I'm thankful for you who have supported the work and made it possible for us to continue. I meet people when I'm traveling on appointments that tell me that they have listened to the program all their life. A couple of ladies told me recently that it was mandatory at their house, when they were just little children, for the whole family to listen. They said when we were children, we didn't have an interest in it. But as we grew older, we came to love the message, and since it has been an important part of our life. I encourage all of you listening to write during this anniversary month. Please mention the call letters of the station or the website where you hear the program, and we will send you our anniversary packet of two CDs. One of them is a message entitled, To God Be Glory. We look at a number of scriptures that speak of the glory of God and to biblical admonitions which guide us in giving glory to God. The other is a CD of some of the favorite hymns we have used on the broadcast. This collection of hymns by the Harmony Plain Singers has not previously been available on CD. These hymns are under the direction of the late Sonny Lowrance. If you like the singing on our program, you'll want to get this collection. So request the packet when you write us at Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Now here's one of the hymns that you will receive on the CD.
Worthy of praises, Christ our Redeemer, worthy of glory, honor, and power, worthy of all our souls' adoration, worthy art thou, worthy art thou, worthy art thou, worthy of praise.
The scriptures abound with reference to the glory of God. We know that we cannot add to his essential glory, but we are to declare his glory. And you may wonder, how can I do that?
Now you might ask the question, if we are to ascribe greatness and glory to God, how could I, as one so insignificant, one so poor and needy in myself, so unworthy, how could I give glory to God? First of all, by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and confessing him as your Savior. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, what? To the glory of God the Father. When one confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, it's to the glory of God. Where do you stand today? Do you believe the claims of Jesus Christ? We learn in the first epistle of John that if we don't embrace that, if we don't believe what God has testified concerning his Son, we call God a liar. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? That he is the God-man? That he is the Savior of sinners? Have you confessed that? Have you confessed openly and publicly? Yes. I see myself as a sinner, as one who is unworthy, but I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. He says there's going to be a day that every tongue will confess. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 23, Jesus said that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Some would have us believe today that as long as a person believes in some kind of a God, some kind of a supreme being, that God will accept that sincerity. Jesus said that's not the case. All men should honor the Son as they honor the Father. If you do not honor the Son, you haven't honored the Father. So to confess him is a way to give him the glory that is due his name. And then to live to his glory. Jesus says that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? glorify your Father which is in heaven. Good works are not to be done so you can be admired and appreciated, so somebody will brag on you and talk about what a dedicated Christian you are and what sacrifices you have made. Your works are to be rendered for the purpose of bringing glory to your Father which is in heaven. Somebody traced your footsteps for a week, saw the activities in which you're involved, what would their conclusion be? Would they be able to say, there's a person who's dedicated to serving God? Their good works are being displayed to his glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says that we are to give him glory in everything that we do, in every detail of life. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. For the more you can give glory to God by believing him. Oh, you may say, certainly I believe God. And it's easy to say that in general terms. I know God cannot lie, so I believe what he says. But the test comes when everything is blowing up in your face. You got troubles on every side. Things are just not going right. Now, do you still believe him? Do you still believe he's good? Do you still believe his promises? Do you still believe that he says, I will not leave you nor forsake you? Say, well, I feel very much alone. I'm not talking about how you feel. We're talking about the faithfulness of God. He says, I will not leave you. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. No way to please him unless you believe him. You must believe his word, embrace his promises. And then by praising him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. By him. What kind of a sacrifice do we offer? We don't bring lambs and birds that did in old covenant times. What do we bring? We bring the sacrifice of praise to God continually. To be a regular thing, not just when we assemble here for public worship on Sundays, but in our walk on a daily basis, to be continually praising him. This is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. How can I glorify God? Our text says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Not only to believe he's glorious, but to praise him for his glory. Confessing Jesus Christ as your hope, as the salvation of your soul. To live to his glory. That in whatever sacrifice you may make, that you're never complaining, but that you're thankful to have the privilege of living in his kingdom and serving him, believing his promises, praising his name.
How can I, a holy mortal, born an earthling, born of clay, seek to praise the Lord Jehovah, who has turned my night to day? How can such a one of Adam, long estranged from God above, hope to find his blessed favor, hope to know his blessed love?
We want to be faithful in giving glory to God in all that we do, but our best efforts here are imperfect. Yet there's coming a day when we will give him perfect praise with a perfect voice in a perfect place forever. Oh, the anticipation of that glorious time should stir our hearts with joy and move us to sing his praise.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things,
I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Still singing that song in heaven. They're singing it up there today. That's a song you'll participate in if you're going there. Not going to be anybody arriving in heaven or trying to rearrange the place and saying, this wasn't quite what I anticipated and I'd like to have it this way or that. Every soul there will be perfectly satisfied with what they discover, because there will be no sin. There'll be no discontent. There'll be no self-will. Every one of them giving glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain. Chapter 21, we're coming toward the end of the Bible. This is a theme that goes all the way through. Revelation chapter 21, reading in the 22nd verse. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The glory of God fills the place. It lightens the city. That's what you have to look forward to. You may be going through a dark time right now. You may be carrying a heavy burden. You may be having struggles and difficulties. But if you're a child of God, something glorious is out ahead for you. There come that day that you'll be in a city where there's no need for the sun. There is no night there. There are no tears. They've been wiped away. And the glory of the Lamb is there, and the light thereof.
There is coming a day when the Lord is to come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on the happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day.
Today we have brought you a special anniversary broadcast as we celebrate the completion of 67 years on the air. I hope you will write and let us know that you have listened, and we will send you our packet of two CDs, one a message on the glory of God and the other with 14 hymns. Our address is Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. And until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.
What a day.